I've had the privilege and really enjoyed having this kind of very long direction conversation, kind of bridging the two worlds in which I live. So the church in pastoral context, but also in the other work that I do with families and children. And so I've been over the last several times that I've preached, been kind of reconciling or kind of connecting to help us see, that what I teach and train families on is really rooted and can be rooted in Scripture. And so it's not something different or counter to what we teach in the life of the church, but in fact, it's very complementary. And so this morning, I want to talk again a little bit about some things we find in TBRI, which is trust-based relational intervention. It's the modality that I'm a practitioner of and what I use a lot in the work that I do. But talk about some of the tools and strategies in there as things that mothers do naturally. And mothers do those things naturally because they're mirroring the heart and character of God. And so as we honor mothers, as we honor grandmothers, as we honor foster parents, adoptive parents, if you have been a spiritual mother for folks in your life, any woman who has stepped into a role, right, has stepped into a sacred role that mirrors the heart of God. And I think if we think of motherhood in all those various forms, motherhood is the clearest, I think, earthly picture of how God cares and loves for us. Because it's not just transactional, it's not just meeting those needs, but there's nurture and love. And that nurturing love gives us a glimpse into the relational kind of love that God has for us. You see, for most of us, we're not going to remember a lesson that our mother taught us, right? We're not going to remember, being chastised or being corrected. We often remember how our mothers made us feel or how our mothers continue to make us feel, right? And so when we think about that, we often recall the way that they looked at us. We often talk about the sound of their voice. We talk about the way that they hugged us. We talk about things like the way that they laughed, right? And that we felt safe when we were with them. You see, it's the connection, it's the longing, it's the relational piece of it that is remembered long after our mothers leave us, far better or greater than those individual kind of what we would say is like teaching moments. And so when we talk through TBRI, right, when we talk through all of these points and things today, even though this is rooted in psychology, even though it's rooted in attachment, there's been a spiritual basis for this long before we came and gave it a fancy name and talked about things from a little bit differently. And so what I want to talk with you about today specifically is a part that's called the engagement strategies. How do we connect and engage with people? And so as we look through these different five strategies, these are things that we can do to connect relationally to other people, but these are things that moms do as second nature. They don't have to think about it. It's just how they do, right? And as they do those things, they're mirroring God's heart and God's love for us. So the first engagement strategy that we talk about is eye contact, right? And so one, when you think about moms, right, they can just, we have the look, right? All moms have the look. And when I say the look, it's typically like you're in trouble, mom gives you a look, and you immediately stop doing that thing right away. But moms also have another look. Moms can calm you. Moms can help you feel safe. When moms look at you, they tell you that you matter. They look at you because they're listening. They look at you to communicate that they're safe, that you're safe. When a mother looks at you, they really see you. One of the deepest needs for humans is to be safe and to feel seen. Proverbs 139, 1-3 says, "The Lord has searched me and knows me. He discerns my comings and goings, and he is familiar with all of my ways. You see, God just doesn't kind of glance towards us, right? He knows us intimately. He knows every bit of who we are. Scripture will paint pictures of us not even having to use clear words because God sees us even through our wordless groans. He notices us. He pays attention to us. Luke 12:6 says that even the numbers of the hairs on our head, for some of us that have them, are numbered. Right? God knows us to the deepest parts of who we are. Nothing escapes God's attention when it comes to his children. So many of us can walk through life, we might feel invisible, forgotten, overlooked, or distanced from other people. But scripture reminds us that we serve a God who sees us. Mothers reflect this beautifully, right? They can often tell just by looking at their child that something is wrong. They notice your facial expressions. They notice your silence, your tears, changes in behavior. Why? Because real love pays attention. There's nothing more powerful than good, healthy eye contact. As Pastor Dave said, is what happens when a child gets hurt, right? What does a mom do? They reach down. They get on their level. They look to see that child. They search long and hard for the even if it's not a real injury, right? They search long and hard and look over and take the time to connect and to bring safety through seeing and looking. God is still looking towards his children. In a world that brings distraction and tries to vie for our attention in all of these different places, God is still looking at us. God sees people through the hurting, through the shame, sees people that feel forgotten. If you look through the pages of scripture, there's a bunch of really just good pictures of Jesus looking at people, and that's where transformation starts. The first one's the woman at the well, right? In social times at that time, Jesus wasn't even supposed to make eye contact with this woman, but he looks at her and he sees her for more than what society says. Zacchaeus up in the tree, he looks at Zacchaeus. He sees him. Compassion begins when we see people. So one of the greatest ways that we can reflect God in the life of who we are as believers is to truly look at and see others. The second engagement strategy is voice. The tone of how we say things matters. Sometimes it's not what is being said. Sometimes it's the how it's being said. And again, a mother's voice has the incredible power to calm, to soothe us when we're feeling anxious, to bring peace, to build us up, to make us feel confident, to make us feel safe, not only physically, but emotionally. It's harsh words that can leave wounds that can last forever. And many of us have had harsh words with other people, and we know the impact of that short, you know, few things that we said in a moment of frustration and how long-lasting those impacts can be. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer can turn away wrath. We're reminded in scripture all the way back in 1 Kings 19 that God often chose to speak through a whisper. God always chooses gentleness in the way that he speaks to us over fear and intimidation. Amber was sharing a story with me the other day of one of the kiddos in her class having a hard time, and she just went, hey, started whispering, and the child was like, what did you say? Stopped having the hard time, came over, and you know, she was able to get them going, not by raising her voice, but by a gentle, calm whisper. Many people, as they experience God for the first time, will often experience who God is through how other people talk and act that say that they are a follower of Christ. It's why our words matter. Whether we speak them out loud, whether we type them online, the words that we say matters. How we use our voice matters. And for many of us, we can let how people are saying something get in the way of what they are saying. We have to have discernment, right, to listen to the what sometimes and not just the how. But if we think about when God chose to speak to others, if we think about when Jesus chose his words carefully throughout his life and throughout his ministry, it was always a nurturing voice. Yes, he spoke consistently, but he spoke with grace and truth. Even when correcting others, even when calling others out, he did that through grace and dignity, but he did it in a way that also restored them. He held them accountable, but restored them in the process. And so as we're thinking through this, right, we know what our mothers can do, right? We've heard some of those stories of how the things our mothers said to us encouraged us and helped us and knew that we weren't alone. And so as we think about not just seeing other people, but we also have to think about what atmosphere are we creating in the life of the church, in the life of our community, in the way we choose to use our voice. Do we help people to feel at peace when we speak? You see, the tone of our voice and how we use our voice has the capacity to either build bridges or create barriers. There's really no middle ground when it comes to that. We can choose to use our voice to build bridges and connections with others, or we can use it to create barriers and build shame. Mothers speak life, they encourage, they comfort, and they always provide the truth. And that encouragement, the comfort, the truth, the love that's imparted through the way our mothers speak to us reflects the very heart of God. And so mothers see us. Mothers use their voice to encourage and mirror the heart of God. And mothers are also playful. So engagement strategy number three is playful engagement. And I'll be honest with you, when we start talking to adults about being playful and playfully engaging with other people, you would think that we were asking them to commit a crime. Because they look at us and they say, I have to do what, right? But play is a central theme across everybody's development span across your entire lifetime. But if you think about the way that society works, by the time you get to middle school, you are taught to stop playing. What is the biggest difference between elementary school and middle school, aside from having a bunch of transitions and multiple teachers? No recess, right? No time for recess. Let's pack in even more education. Now, I'm not dogging education. I think education is great. But play is the language that kids speak in, and kids is 0 to 18. It is how kids learn. It is how kids develop their social skills and their motor skills. Play is central to who we are as individuals. There's no coincidence that anxiety rises in children when they get to middle school and play goes away. Play is central to who we are. But at the heart of play, and you're wondering, okay, where is play in Scripture? Scripture talks about play as joy. Joy is deeply spiritual. We see that across the pages of Scripture. We see that that God will rejoice in us. God delights in his children. That's play. Some of us may have grown up believing because there wasn't a lot of maybe joy in how Scripture and how God was communicated to us. We maybe grew up in this like this culture of Christianity where we just felt like God was always mad at us or disappointed or embarrassed or shamed of us. We weren't really taught that God delighted in us, that God was joyful over us. But Scripture paints the picture that God rejoices with his people. Mothers reflect this joy, this playfulness in their laughter, in their silliness, in the inside jokes that they have with their kids, in just the moments where it's unplanned and spontaneous. Hopefully my wife doesn't kill me, but I went into Walmart yesterday, and when I came back out of Walmart yesterday, she was singing in the car with the kids and using Eve's feet as a microphone, right? And she thought that was the greatest thing in the world. But it's in those moments where you laugh and you do very silly things. As adults, I'll be honest, we don't know how to play. And I'll talk about how we can learn to be more playfulness as we follow and watch our kids. But as mothers laugh and as they have jokes and as they do these things, that playfulness, that joy, that delight says, I enjoy being with you. This is a safe place to be. You matter beyond who cares what people are looking at around us in the parking lot. You matter in this moment. And I want to be fully invested. Proverbs 31:25 says, she is clothed with strength and she can laugh at the days ahead. When we're rooted in the strength and we're rooted in this power that God gives us as mothers, we can laugh and be joyful about the days that are ahead. It's in play that kids feel safe. It's in play that they learn to trust. It's in play that they learn that they can make mistakes and that you're still with them. Children interpret delight and play as belonging. Play disarms fear. So when we are joyful in our fellowship, it helps to create a sense of belonging. Guys, sometimes healing, sometimes acceptance, sometimes people finding deep-rooted connection in Christ is gonna happen in the laughter and in the fellowship. Way more than it's gonna happen in meaningful moments or in the perfect, you know, lesson or things like that. The most meaningful moments as family are usually not the big expensive vacations or the big achievements or the big parties and things, but it's the dancing in the kitchen, it's the silly bedtime routines, it's the jokes at the dinner table, it's the joy that creates memories that nothing else can. When was the last time we just laughed with one another? And I get it, we live in a world that's full of just hate and wants us, even in this space where we all say we belong to God, there are things that would divide us still in this space. And sometimes we can let those things that have nothing to do with play and joy in Christ distract us from fellowshipping and laughing together. It's in that play, it's in that delight, it's in that joy that we're going to build relationships with others. Engagement strategy number 4 is behavior matching. Behavior matching simply means that I learn through other people mirroring and matching the choices that I'm making. So we teach playful engagement, or we teach parents to learn to play again by watching what your kids are doing. What are your kids doing? Do that. Kids down on the floor doing Barbies, right? Write out a plan of how you're gonna get up off the floor and then get down on the floor and play with them. Monster trucks, do monster trucks. When you go out to have ice cream with your kids, your grandkids, you wanna behavior match with them, pick the same flavor of ice cream they have. Unless you don't like vanilla, and I'm sorry, that's what most of my kids will eat. Take the older kids, they like fancier flavors. But you simply say, it's okay, I'm matching what you're doing behaviorally. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Right? When a child is overwhelmed, what does a mother do? They get down on their level. Right? When a child is sad, what does a mother do? Validates that sadness, validates that fear, validates that anger. When a child is excited or happy about a grade or an accomplishment or something, what does a mother do? Celebrates in joy, jumps up and down, right? When a child is anxious, a mother slows down with them and goes through the process. Part of behavior matching is learning to listen and be led by your child, right? Not just leading them, because love listens. And Jesus modeled this constantly throughout his ministry. He sat with those who were grieving, right? He had dinner with those who invited him. He restored those who felt shame. But I think if we look at scripture, the best representation of Jesus' behavior matching is actually the shortest scriptural verse, John 11:35, Jesus wept. True connection, true relationship requires attunement. It requires us being able to see and use our voice to help. It's not lecturing, it's compassion, it's presence. It's someone who's willing to understand where someone is without just trying to fix it. Do we have the answer, church? Absolutely, we have the answer. Unequivocally, we have the answer to all of life's problems. I don't think there's a person in this room that would say we don't have that. But sometimes it's connecting and validating without giving that answer right away to help someone feel safe, to allow someone to process and be. We must sit with others as Christ did through their pain. And then we must celebrate with others the way that mothers celebrate with us. Pastor Dave alerted us to our engagement strategy number 4, which was healthy touch, right? What does a mother do? Scoops you up, hugs you, right? And helps you. So healthy touch is anchored in Mark 10:16. And Jesus took children into his arms. Jesus could have simply spoken to every person that he healed, but he engaged physically with each person that he healed. He could have driven out demons by simply speaking, but he didn't. He engaged in healthy touch with those. Healthy touch communicates safety, affection, reassurance, belonging, comfort, peace, all of those things. When a child is struggling, what's the first thing a mother does is scoop them up. Many of us can remember a hug from our mother, a hand on the shoulder, holding us when we cry, being a shoulder for us to cry on. All of these things communicate that you are not alone. Nothing makes a good group of church people feel uncomfortable like a hug that lasts too long in the lobby. But some of us grew up in places and times and in traditions that where physical affection wasn't shown. And healthy touch is something that is respectful, right? Healthy touch is something where you respect the other people's boundaries. If I'm a hugger and you're not, I'm not going to hug you because I know that probably about you because we have good relationship. But healthy touch is what is appropriate. We have the opportunity as a part of you know, how we exemplify, how we mirror our relationship with Christ and how we interact with other people. And mothers, again, reflect healthy touch in a way. Again, they're just a hand on the shoulder. Just a quick hug can often help bring peace to a child. Sometimes the love of God can be felt through the embrace of someone who cares. And so as we close today, these are not only ways that mothers have loved us, but these are ways that God loves us. And a mother's heart is just reflecting what naturally comes to them through their connection and how they were created in the image of God. So every one of these engagement strategies really truly reflects the gospel. And what's the heart of the gospel is a God who sees us. Is a God who takes the time to speak to us. It's a God who delights and is joyful with his children. It's a God who meets us where we are. In every other religion, it's the people who have to go and try to find the God. In Christianity and the one true God, it's God who is coming to us. And he meets us where we are. Think of the woman at the well. Think of Zacchaeus. Think of the lepers. Think of all these people. Jesus met them where they were. He didn't wait for them to be healed. He didn't wait for Zacchaeus to give all the money back. He didn't wait for the disciples to do all those things. He met them simply where they are. God meets us where we are. And God moves towards us and embraces us. The gospel, the heart of the gospel is relationship. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He didn't simply come because he could. He came to restore us into relationship with God. And again, mothers give us the clearest picture of what that relational love looks like. And so today, as we honor women who have helped us to feel seen, as we offer women who have helped us feel safe, soothed, comfort, feel significant, feel like a part of something, we give thanks to God for reflecting those things through their lives for us. It's those things of how we can build meaningful relationships. It's those things that will change the heart of our church, change the heart of our communities. It's connection that shapes hearts for a lifetime. Would you join me as we pray this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for God, your heart. And God, you sent your son to die for us. God, so that we could experience delight and joy. God, so we could have a direct connection with you. So God, thank you for seeing us. Thank you for loving us. God, thank you for delighting in your children. God, you want everybody to be safe and secure within you. So God, wherever mothers, women, grandmothers, foster mothers, adoptive mothers, wherever everybody is celebrated today, God, would it reflect the true heart of you? God, relationship, God, the gospel, that you love us. Be with us in the closing moments. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.